Well, one thing is true, I think we would all have to admit. We're living in a very interesting time. And it's not just this time that we're kind of experiencing life dealing with this pandemic, but I think a lot of things have changed over the last couple of years as far as at least my perception goes. And maybe you've seen it too. People just seem to be more on edge, more easily angered, more bothered by things. And also with that, it just seems like people are more easily hurt or offended. And it doesn't take much sometimes just to set people off. And then also some just don't know what to do when another person disagrees with them, or maybe there's different opinions about looking at certain things. And I think one of the problems with that is just not taking the time to listen. I think it's so important just to listen, to discuss, to ask questions, to understand where people are coming from. Even if we don't agree, it's just showing respect to other people. And then, too, in the midst of all of this, there just seems to be a lot of expectations as to what maybe we feel people owe us. And then there's a list of entitlements. It's sad. It's tragic. I could say that is the way it is today, but I totally agree with Solomon, who said thousands of years ago, you know, there's nothing new under the sun. And there really isn't. People have always struggled with these kinds of things. But I think with that kind of understanding about maybe what's going on in our culture today, the gospel reading and lesson for today fits beautifully, I think, in this. And it's a great story. It's a great story about grace, mercy, humility, and about crossing boundaries. A woman becomes an example and lesson as to who can be a part of God's family. And it's not about race, it's not about nationality or social class or even prior religious background. It's not about who keeps all of the rites and rituals in the established traditional ways. In a sense, we could say all are welcome, but bendability is the key. Bendability. Do your knees bend? Are you able to say, thank you for the crumbs? It's really a simple story. But before you actually get into the story, just one quick thing about the context. The context is that most Jews of the first century shared a mutual prejudice that Gentiles, those who were not Jewish, were unclean. And this uncleanness was just something that was innate. They were unclean simply because they were Gentiles. It's just the way most Jews at the time just saw their world and saw their people. That's kind of the context of the view at the time. So back to the story. Jesus wants some rest, but I think mainly for his disciples. And so what they do is they retreat kind of far into Gentile territory. The region is called Tyre and Sidon. We know that geographic area today is Lebanon, but that's where they went. And it never seems like Jesus is ever able to get away far enough. People always seem to find him. And he's in a house, and a woman hears through the grapevine that Jesus is in the area. The woman's never named, but she's labeled in such a way that we know that she is Gentile. Obviously, she's heard the story circulating about Jesus. And we come to find out her desperate story. Her daughter, it says, is possessed by an evil spirit. And all she wants for her daughter, she loves her daughter, all she wants is her to be healed. She wants her to be free, no longer suffering. And because of her love for her daughter, she'll stop, in a sense, at nothing. She just will do anything she can, and you can't help but have your heart go out to her and, kind of, sense, feel her pain. And she comes and, in a sense, literally falls at Jesus' feet, pleading for help, just desiring Jesus' compassion on her daughter. And it really becomes a troubling story when you read Jesus' response. And the response has bothered, in a sense, scholars and students and people for years. Because the response is, "First let the children eat all they want," Jesus told her. "For it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs." And it's one of those passages you read and you kind of stop and say, "What?" And you go back and you read it again and you say, Did he say that? Did Jesus call her a dog? Did he just say, "Go away, we're busy, we're trying to relax"? Just a little explanation. The children eating at the table, in the way the story is told, equals Israel, who Jesus came to first to tell the story to share the message with, in a sense, to feed. And the dogs are the Gentiles. So in the current domestic scene, it's inappropriate to interrupt a meal and feed the dogs or allow the dogs to carry off the children's food or meal. Crumbs are for the dogs. Jesus, in a sense, does dismiss her appeal, but she's unwilling to be put off. And she refuses to accept that, in a sense, and she's not going to take no for an answer. And so her response reveals that she comprehends more about the bread that Jesus is offering than his own disciples and the Pharisees. Because the woman's take on what Jesus said is this: "Oh, if the dogs are eating crumbs, they're feeding at the same time. There's really no interruption." She knows that she cannot insist on God's mercy and does not take offense when Jesus tells her so. And the idea is this: one must overcome the offense before one can open the door for Jesus to help. We stop and say, "All right, let's maybe try to put ourselves in the story, and what in the story would offend us? How would we have responded? Because I don't know about you, but I wouldn't want to be called a dog. Even though we love our dogs and they're great things in our family and stuff like that, just I think we would take that personally." You see, our pride kicks in and keeps us from asking for help. So we turn to gods of our own making because we don't want to be offended. So we'll create whatever we can so that that God, whatever we want it to be, won't offend us. And we convince ourselves that we're special and that we're worthy of special treatment. But you see, only when we are truly desperate are we willing to do whatever it takes, including humbling ourselves to find God's help. You see, the woman's attitude is key to understanding this entire passage, the story. She comes empty-handed. She has no merit, no priority standing, nothing to commend her. And she certainly doesn't have a "you owe me" attitude. As one person said, she bows as a beggar for grace. She bends. She did not come expecting praise for her faith. She came because she simply wanted healing for her daughter. She loved her daughter. And Jesus' ministry reveals that God has not sent him to reward the deserving, but to serve the needy. Jesus sees what happens. He perceives this woman's attitude and where her heart is, and he says, "All right, you may go. The demons have left your daughter. She's completely healed." Who wants to be called a dog or likened to a dog? Who wants to be regarded as weak? Who wants to open Scripture and start reading through it and have an accusatory finger point at them and say, "You have a sin problem. you have a problem with pride. You have a problem with this. You have something that you need to really look at inside. Who wants to do that, really? And isn't it true we walk away when we don't feel so desperate? See, pride, it's one of Satan's favorite devices for separating us from God and God's help. Pride has a way of stiffening knees so that we will not bow down. It muzzles our voice so we don't ask for help because we don't need it. And then you throw in prejudice, the way we see other people. And you put those things together, you take some pride and you throw in some prejudice, and the more rigid we become. But see, when we are willing to bend the knee and fall against Jesus, then we are able to find the true food that gives life. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, he says, "But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God." Yes, the message causes people to stumble and be troubled. But to those who recognize what it is and have had their hearts changed, it's exactly what they need. See, the whole story is an amazing picture of God's grace. And what's the most amazing thing is how it starts, because it starts with God. It starts with God. It's His grace that bends to serve and to save and to rescue. He initiates it. And then we see her humility allowed her to bend to receive the mercy and eat the crumbs. But it started with God. And what she received, those crumbs were more satisfying than the food that was on that table. And she recognized that. And she was able to say, you know, thank you for the crumbs. Because she realized what those crumbs actually were. Some of you watching today may be just as desperate in your life with a life situation. Same as that woman and her daughter. And we don't know where to go, and we just know that we're desperate because we need something. We want something. We desire something. Something's not right. And I pray that God would allow you to bend and kneel at His feet today. You see, Jesus has a way of feeding the bendable. Faith eats or receives or takes and accepts the crumbs because those are the very thing that heal it, is the very thing that we need. Because when we know what the real food is, we can say, thank you for the crumbs. And we're willing to receive those and accept them because of what we know them to be. For those of you who are watching again today, there's so many things going on in this world, but I just pray that as we look into our own life today, that God would do a work, and that again, He would just allow us to bend His way and receive the work that He wants to do. That our ears would be open to hear the words that maybe we need to hear, that our hearts would be open to what they need to be open to. And let Him feed you and be for you today what you truly need. And that brings healing and health and life. So, may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.